Going to do something a little bit different this morning. God is seeking a people. God has a people, and He's seeking a people. How many know that the church is spiritual Israel? God has called for a people for Himself. Amen. How many in this room say yes to Jesus? Yes. Lord, I'll be part of your people, spiritual Israel. Some say, and I think it has merit, that when you take a look in the scripture, the promise to Abraham deals with he will have seed as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the shore. And the perspective that I think has merit is stars in the heavens being spiritual Israel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is he a radiant hope of glory? Does Jesus shine through your face and countenance? Look at each other, smile real big, say, Jesus loves you, don't you know? Now say it southern, say it southern. Jesus loves you, don't you know? But the sand on the shore is akin to natural Israel. We have unfolding in front of us things that cause men's hearts to fear, not God's. Things that are unfolding in front of us cause men's hearts to grow faint, not God's. You say amen? Yes. How many know nothing takes him by surprise? He's still on the throne. But I want to talk this morning about being the apple of God's eye. And I'm going to bring a message this morning that's a little different than what I've talked about before at times. I talked about a year and a half ago, if some of you may recall, you might remember this. I said, keep an eye on God and an eye on Israel. And then keep a third eye on the body of Christ. Because whatever God does in the natural, he does something in the spiritual. He does something in the spiritual. Many of you are aware of in 1948 when the nation of Israel was literally brought back in a day as a country over in the Middle East. But 1948 also was one of the most important demarcations of time frames in the body of Christ when the latter rain movement, not latter saints, but latter rain movement, the Spirit will be poured out as the former rains and the latter rain. And the latter rain movement swept the world with revival. A group of Bible students were seeking the Lord in Saskatchewan, B.C., and saying, God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we see it in the Scriptures, it must be real. Something must be powerful. God, pour out your Spirit. And this small little prayer meeting, God began to move, and it began to pour out of His Spirit. And these Bible school students were baptized in the Spirit with the resulting gift of speaking in tongues and healing, and laying out of hands began to take place, and they began to go around and lay hands on one another, as the Scripture says. And all of a sudden, the revival fire started to burn. People began to fly in from all around the world and make their way there, from all around the world to be prayed for, to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And great outpouring took place, swept the world. Shortly thereafter, you had healing evangelists. And, who's the one you probably know the most? He's still on the scene. Oral Roberts, probably known the most. And whether some of you think askance of Oral Roberts or not, the man has been mightily used of the Lord. I would dare say he's probably been a vessel of God to bring more healing in life than I've been. How about you? Okay? Some of God's vessels don't always come in petite packages. Okay? So there are things that may seem a little unusual, but God moves. And God is on the throne and he's moving. Now, the question that I want to ask you is, what is God getting ready to do right now? Church, God is getting ready to do something, don't you know? God is alive and well, and he's got a timetable, and he knows what he's doing. Say amen, church. Turn to each other. Say, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing with the apple of his eye. Now, who's the apple of his eye? You are. Yeah, Pastor Sherry says it's her. You're the apple of God's eye. Come on, say that. I am the apple of God's eye. Isn't that good? It's Charles Tracy. That's right. Carl's dressing for it, the red apple there, right there. Okay, nobody in the room is a crab apple though, right? You're not the crab apple of God's eye. All right. You're the apple of God's eye. But God very distinctly spoke that phrase to a natural people as well. And I think it behooves us to take a look at some scripture this morning. I'm going to use a lot of scripture. I'm going to ask you to put on your thinking caps with me, your scriptural caps with me, because I think we need to take a look at what is God doing. Now, do we have answers for everything God is doing? Nope. How many of you turned on your news this morning? Did you turn on the news this morning? Haifa is having air raids. There are more bombings taking place. There are more things happening. 3 weeks ago, Israel began to move into Lebanon and began to answer some of the issues in Gaza. Israeli soldiers were kidnapped. Missiles continued to be lobbed into Israel. Israeli families, women and children were constantly under attack. And the part that you don't hear on most of your newscasts is the provoking and the killing of women and children of Israel. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. 6 years ago, Israel pulled out of a multi-year positioning and holding a position in Lebanon. In that time, Hezbollah continued to arm itself and dig in positions for armed conflict. They had in that time frame gathered 13,000 missiles, dug miles of tunnels, made themselves ready for house-to-house combat, street-to-street warfare of the most difficult kind. Well, Pastor Kevin, are you going to talk to us about politics? No. I'm going to talk to you about God. I'm going to talk to you about the scripture this morning, just even a little. Actually, quite a bit of scripture, but just a little perspective. Because I think we need to keep our spirits right and our eyes ready and our hearts ready for Jesus. Pastor Carl always used to use a phrase as he preached, get ready, stay ready, and grow. How many know that's the best position to be in? Come on, how many know it's the best position to be in? Get right with God, stay right with God, and keep growing. Amen? Look at each other, hit each other in the shoulder, say, keep growing. See, this is the vocal church here. This is the vocal church. Keep growing. Keep growing. Save somebody else. Keep growing, brother. Now, don't hit Bill's other shoulder too hard, man. Now, you were supposed to be wearing a sign this morning, Bill. Okay, just had surgery on it. Listen, there have been miracles that have taken place in Israel as a national nation, a specific literal nation, over the eons. How many remember the Six-Day War? If you read the treatises of the Six-Day War, God moved and intervened absolutely supernaturally. In 1981, some of you might remember when Israel bombed Iraq's nuclear buildup and their nuclear arsenal, and the world condemned them. One of the first times ever the United States took a vote against them. But how many remember that not too long later, they found in the rubble multitudinous supplies that Saddam Hussein had built up of the right kind of substances to create nuclear bombs. Now, just hold on this morning, lest you think this is all about politics. It's not. Folks, the conflict of the ages that is upon us is a spiritual struggle. And in America, we live lazy spiritual lives sometimes. We think pluralism, live and let live. Do you understand that across the face of the planet, the most extreme positions on the other side aren't saying live and let live. They're saying, we live, you die. That's right. Do you understand that? It is a spiritual conflict. And the very tenets of some of the nature of some of the extreme positions are to wipe Israel and America off of the face of the planet. You've got to be right with God. Hallelujah. Now, how many realize we're in a great place? If Banger goes and up it goes, we're all going to see Jesus right away. You know that. You know, here we are in Washington State. Not only is it beautiful, you take a look at the face of the United States this morning, 160,000 degrees everywhere else in the nation, 70 right here. Oh, God knew I was home. But I tell you, listen, Okay, are you right with God? Listen, what I'm going to talk about has some interest this morning for current events and for what's happening and having our eyes open. What is God doing? Listen, there's lots of positions. Lots of positions out there in the body of Christ, don't you know? You know, we're in the millennial reign now. That's one of the positions. We're in Jesus Christ, millennial reign now. How many feel like you're ruling and reigning over every part of life? Okay, now, that doesn't make the theology necessarily wrong because our walk isn't fully what it should be. You know, remember, the Bible is the foundation of our faith and practice and the answer to it all. Because my life doesn't shape up according to the Word of God doesn't make the Word of God wrong. It makes my life out of line. Okay? There are premillennialists. You know, bad times are coming, don't you know? But the problem with premillennial is just before everything happens, we're all going to get raptured away. And it causes people to live lazy. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to see any of the tough times. And you don't become an occupier. The Bible says occupy till he comes. And you need to strengthen your spiritual bones and spiritual backbone, and you need to have spiritual fortitude. So when lies and deceits come out from all around the globe against the gospel of truth and the truth in Jesus Christ, you know how to stand strong and address it. You know how to not fall over when the winds blow. And don't you know the winds do blow? Amen? Premillennials. And there's panmillennials. Everything's going to pan out okay. But what's God's perspective? You know, I'm not sure any of us fully had that answer. But God's perspective really is Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the answer. Not an answer, not a answer in a pluralistic mentality. He is the answer. And the Bible says he will fill this earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. Now, I'm not spouting hatred doctrine. We love people. For, say it with me, John 3:16. Try to get it in every Sunday, don't you know? For God so loved the world. Who? The whole? Okay, yeah, okay, just John Denver. No, sorry. That's an old joke. And John's not here around anyway. But anyway, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that word belief is pregnant and rich with meaning. It's not just pop off a little 10-second prayer and I'm fine. Because if your life, if you have not surrendered to Jesus and your life doesn't follow up, is that really getting saved? A lot of people hope so. They pop off a little prayer and walk away from them, don't have anything to do with them ever again and hope they're just fine. That's not surrender to Jesus, right? Surrender to Jesus. Lord, I give you my whole life. And I know you start to work with me and change me and make me more like you. See, right? See, I'm becoming more like Jesus. My hair's getting longer. Just haven't had time yet. Okay, guys. All right. But the whole thing, we need to understand that in the world today, a lot of agendas are loosed and they are not casual. It's not hidden. But in America, we are lulled into sleep with a pluralistic mentality. Live and let live. But there are people committed to wiping Jesus Christ and his followers off of the face of this earth. Gee, Pastor Kevin, you trying to be a fear-monger this morning? No, I'm being a Jesus awake us all kind of person, monger. Okay? Now, Israel responded in these last 3 weeks, and they continued to lose the public relations war. And they lose, and they lose, and they lose popularity. And they gain the ire of people all around the world. This morning, there was a bomb that went off from what they sent, and 59 kids, I believe, were killed. Look, guys, I am not for innocent women and children being killed. I'm not for anybody being killed. God so loved the world that he gave his life for everybody, okay? God doesn't want anybody to perish. And in fact, God is not problem. God's war is not God's fault. Don't you know that? War is not God's fault. The Bible tells us where war comes from, the lusts of your flesh. Right? Book of James, y'all familiar? Y'all looking at me like, huh? War is not God's fault. If God's a loving God, why is there war? The problem with that is, why is there a man that turns against God and hardens his heart? Then you'll have your answer for war. But we must recognize, even some of the Arab countries defended Israel's rights to defend themselves this time around, but some of that's beginning to change. You hear the tenor of the news this morning, the atrociousness of children dying. There is no question war is atrocious. Sometimes there is collateral damage. You know what you won't hear? Israel dropped leaflets all over the place they were getting ready to bomb. Get out and get out now. Israel called. Israel, somebody from Israel, just on the news this morning, called one of the leaders of the group that kidnapped one of their soldiers in Gaza, called some of these people and said, you better get your family out. 15 minutes later, bombs fell. Interesting. Let me read a thing that was printed in the Baltimore Sun. Israelis today are overwhelmingly supporting their army's actions. Apart from expressing regret over the loss of civilian lives, they show no sign of wavering. They are showing regret for the loss of civilian lives. That is always a tragedy. In fact, the Judeo-Christian perspective is life is valuable. Life means something. You go to a lot of the rest of the religions on the face of the earth, and life means nothing. You know that, right? That's why they're suicide bombers. Their life here means nothing. They're going to be martyrs forever and get 10,000 virgins or however many. Yeah, I know. So, I had to throw a little exaggeration in there. But right now, one of the scriptures that people are walking around Israel quoting to themselves is be strong and of good courage. Where do you think that's coming from? From Joshua in the scriptures. Listen to this. To begin with, Israelis too are under fire. During the last few weeks, Hezbollah has shot more than 2,500 rockets and mortars at Israel, killing at least 19 civilians, wounding 500, forcing more than 500,000 people to flee. The attacks from Lebanon coincided with aggression from Gaza, where Hamas terrorists fired about 1,000 Qassam rockets at Israeli towns and farms. On both fronts, Israeli soldiers were the victim of unprovoked ambushes and kidnappings. These attacks have come despite the fact that Israel is no longer occupying, or at this writing, any part of either Lebanon or Gaza. The whole point is this. They know that the conflict is not over borders, but over their right to exist. And there's an important perspective, and then I'm going to go to the scriptures. Israelis also know that Hezbollah cares nothing about civilian casualties on either side. On the contrary, Hezbollah wants Israel to cause the maximum amount of collateral damage among the Lebanese in order to expose Israel to international condemnation. That's why Hezbollah missile launchers are routinely deployed in civilian neighborhoods. And so when they tell them to get out and they don't, they know the casualties will cause Israel to be condemned. As a rule, Israeli forces warn Lebanese civilians to leave the battle areas, but eventually they have no option but to destroy these structures or risk losing more Israeli lives to the rockets fired at them. Israeli Air Force must knock out roads, highways, and bridges that Hezbollah uses to replenish the arsenal. Let's go to the scripture. Would you turn to Zechariah, please, in the Old Testament? Last week, we talked about a future and a hope. It's interesting. We're not in Acts Alive right now, but God is putting together a series. Because the future and the hope came from the words through God, through Jeremiah. And it was talking to the Israelis who had gone into captivity, into Babylon, right? Remember? Promises to Abraham, carried on through. The people turn their back on God. They're carried off to captivity. Many of them go into Babylon. Jeremiah prophesies to them. God is going to restore them. There is a future and a hope. Zechariah also prophesies along this line. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Zechariah 2, verses 1 through 13. Actually, I'll begin in verse 4. Who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. Verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a, say it with me please, wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Verse 6. Up, flee, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord. I've spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven. Verse 7. Up, Zion. Escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Who's he prophesying to? The captives where? In Babylon. Verse 8. He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you, please read the next phrase with me, touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them. They will become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I'm coming, and I'll dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. Now Zechariah was called by God to encourage the people, the exiles, and he was encouraging the returned exiles from Babylon who came to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, the temple had been destroyed, and God allowed people to leave captivity to go rebuild the temple. Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. How many know God remembers you in your situations? Amen? Yahweh remembers. It had been about 18 years since Cyrus released Zerubbabel, or Zerubbabel, whatever you, however you like to pronounce it, with a group of Jewish exiles to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. The work had stopped. How many remember why the work had stopped? Because enemies from around hindered the work of God. How many understand God always has a people, his people, doing his work, but the enemy always tries to throw hindrances to the work of God? Okay? You understand that? There was the prophecy this morning about fires that come to try us and purify us. Some of those things God allows in our life to teach us how to rise up and do warfare over them. And we go through the fire, we become tried and come through like pure gold. But some of the enemies, the scripture says in the Old Testament, some of the enemies stayed in the land so Israel could teach the new generations how to do warfare. Remember? Anybody tracking with me? All right, the apple of God's eye. That literally means the little man in God's pupil, but it's the most cherished part of the body, the part that is the most protected. You ever try to, maybe I should ask it this way, ever try to put eye drops in my eyes? No, most of you haven't. But if you ever do, my natural reflex really works fantastically. I've had people sit with me. My wife and Pastor Sherry, right next to Pastor Carl's office, remember? Okay, Kevin, lady, I've got to put this. I just can't seem to get drops in my eyes. So lay down, and okay, I'm ready. Okay, y'all ready? We've got one's on one side, one's on the other side. Y'all ready? I'm ready. Spills out. You know, the part that is the most protected? Your eyesight. How many know scientists haven't come up with too many good working eyeball replacements? Right? So there's stuff that can be done, but the apple of God's eye. Are Israel the people of God? Or are they simply a Zionist nation who's turned their back on God? How many know that probably both things are correct? Israel, no matter what somebody considers, no matter what, you take a look at natural Israel, and they have turned the desert into blossoming like a rose. In 60 years from 1948, they have become an economic and military powerhouse in the region. Miracles after miracles after miracles. How many realize that the Israelis, the Hebrews, the Jews, have provided the world with some of the most profound intellects and scholars, professors, musicians, artists, surgeons, scientists? A tiny nation that has withstood the world's onslaught, was fought over, decimated. It did not exist as a nation for 2,000 years and was restored in one day. One day. Now, we know the story after story of Israel turning their back on God. And we know the story of Israel being removed to other lands. But we saw last week again, Jeremiah prophesies a future and a hope. God's promises. Miraculous promises of restoration. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, if you'll turn to it. I'm going to do several out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 30. I'm going to start with verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 16 through 20. Jeremiah 30, verses 16 through 20. Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all of your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder, and all who prey upon you will I make a prey. I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. Verse 18. Behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents. I will have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built on its own mound. Verse 19. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving with the voice of those who make merry. Verse 20, the end. I will punish all who oppress them. Jeremiah chapter 31. 31 verses 31 through 34. Jeremiah chapter 31. 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. How many understand you're the recipient of the new covenant? The new covenant that Jesus writes in your heart and mind, surrendered to Jesus Christ. But I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. Verse 33, but this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days. I'll put my law on their minds. I'll write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. All right, Israel, as the stars in the sky, the light of the earth. Who is the light of the world? Jesus and us, when Jesus is in us. How many know you're shining light in the dark places? How many are glad to have this new covenant of Jesus in your heart and life? Amen. Verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will, look at the last phrase, I'll forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Now that's part of our covenant promise in Jesus Christ. Salvation is only by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. How many understand you're not saved just because you were born in Israel? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying salvation comes only by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ. But when you look at the promise of God, do you know what we do? We sit back and we doubt that God can fulfill it. It seems so opposite of anything we see. How many of you understand God's big enough to do it in a day? Amen. Folks, 2,000 years, no nation existed. One day came into existence. One day, in one day. Now, let me ask you a question. If your faith is that God destroyed Israel, nothing to do with natural Israel, nothing. Doesn't mean anything anymore. If that's your faith and belief, I want you to turn anywhere to Scripture when you see that God destroyed something. Turn anywhere to it where God destroyed it. Does it still exist? God destroys something. God knows how to do it. How many believe that Sodom and Gomorrah are probably not inhabited to this day? Probably. But God restored a nation in a day. Wonder what God has in mind. Keep an eye on Jesus. Keep an eye on Israel. Keep your third eye in front of you. Let's walk in faith. Very, very interesting. Jeremiah 33, verses 23 through 26. Jeremiah 33, 23 through 26. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, have you not considered what these people have spoken? Saying, now really listen to this. The two families which the Lord has chosen, he has also cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, as if they should no more be a nation before them. Verse 25, thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, is there still day and night, folks? Yeah. And if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, is there still heaven and earth? Yeah. Come on, let me hear you. Yeah. How many know there's night coming tonight? If that's the case, then I will cast away. If my covenant is not with day and night, if there's not such a thing, if there's not heaven and earth, then I'll cast away the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For, say it with me, please, the end of verse 26, for I will cause their captives to return and will have mercy on them. All right? Are all Israel Israel? No. No, we know that. Romans chapter 9, if you want to thumb to it, go right ahead. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 12. Romans 9. I told you we use a lot of scripture this morning. That's okay. How many love your Bible? It's a good church to bring a Bible to, right? I didn't hear everybody say amen, right? Amen. Romans 9, verses 6 through 12. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac. Remember last week we talked about Isaac. In laughter, in God's miraculous seed and provision. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. But Isaac was a real guy, folks. It's not just spiritualized away. Isaac was real. Ishmael of the flesh, Isaac of the spirit, but Isaac was still real. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Okay, folks, let's admit it. There is a remnant. How many of you know we could say the same thing about the church? How many understand not all of the church is the church? Come on, church, let's admit it. Not all of the church is the church. Some go to church because their friends are there. Some go to church just because it's social. Some go to church and stubbornly, obstinately of heart, sit and resist everything preached. Some go to church and they think they're better than the pastors. Some go to church and, you know, there's a struggle in the spirit. Not all of the church is the church. That's why you look for the fruit of a life. Right? That's why you look for the fruit. Is there real Christianity in this life? Is this thing really under the covering of God? Is this thing really of the light? Or is it sneaking around and is it in darkness? Not all of the church is the church. If you're going to feed at the church, feed under the covering of God and stay with the Word of God that gives you light and truth and vibrancy and truth that changes your life. Don't go feeding from a stream that's pure or that's turned into all sorts of other stuff that's putrid. Don't get every stream available today. And church, I'm here to tell you as your pastor, if you go feed from every stream, you're going to get a polluted river rolling in your spirit and you're going to wonder why you have problems in your life. Oh, I'm free. You don't tell me what to do, Pastor Kevin. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says to do. Drink from a pure stream or you end up polluted and wonder why. All of a sudden, you know, my spirit isn't right and my relationship isn't right with my husband or my wife and things aren't right and I'm just frustrated with everybody. And you look back into it and you say, wonder what stream you've been drinking from. Are you under the covering of God? Are you under spiritual oversight? Are you getting your life helped out, checked out, keeping your commitments, walking with God? Got to be in a gathering. You see, the Bible says, don't deny the gathering together of the saints. Who are the saints planted in the local church? Say amen.
Amen.
Very good. That's just for free, see? But God's got plans. God's got principles. You go drinking from polluted streams, you're going to have problems. And you'll know it. Your spirit gets all yucked up, you'll know it. How many want a clean spirit?
Amen.
Me too. I want a clean spirit. I want to give away good, clean stuff. Amen? All right. All right, there's a remnant. There's a people who qualify. Not all Israel is Israel. There's the natural flesh. There's that seed. There's a spiritual people. But it can't be denied that God's got his hand on a natural people. God fulfills his word. Is all physical Israel of Israel? Nope. A lot lot of people are just plain Zionist warmongers. They don't have any faith in their God of Abraham, Isaac at all. Does that mean there's no hand of God on Israel? Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Told you I was going to do a lot of scriptures. You're all hanging in there, aren't I? Romans chapter 11, verses 15 through 24. Romans 11, 15 through 24. If they're being cast away, Romans 11, verse 15 through 24, if they're, Israel, the Jews, if they're being cast away as the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Verse 17. If some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Verse 18, and I want you to see it and underline it if you've got something. Do not boast against the branches. If you do boast, remember, you don't support the root. The root supports you. How many know you were grafted into this vine by faith through grace in Jesus Christ? You'll say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Now look, that's twice in two short sentences. God says that. How many of you understand that sometimes we Gentiles, who are saved by faith, get very haughty toward the Jews who may remain in natural Israel? I think it behooves us to walk very tenderly before God. For if God did not spare the natural branches, am I misinterpreting here? We're talking about the natural branches. If God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Verse 22, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity. Toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Well, that's a little bit of preaching against eternal security, isn't it? I can go do whatever I want, turn my back on God, and I'll still be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. There might be a lot of people that teach that, but I don't see that the Bible... And I see Apostle Paul saying, I got to look to my own salvation here, gang, with fear and trembling. Okay? Verse 23, they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. God's able to graft them in again. All right, now let's go verse further, verse 25 through 33. Well, verse 24, if you were cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Romans 11, 25 through 33. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. How many understand seeing the Jews come to Jesus Christ is going to be a mystery? Okay? Sometimes the most obstinate, stubborn people on the planet. Anybody else in this room qualify? Honey, you're the most obstinate, stubborn people on the planet. Don't go saying that today. Pastor Kent told me to tell you. Romans 11, 25 through 33. I do not desire, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise. Once again, look at this. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Don't boast. Don't be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliberate. Now, when you see that, is all Israel Israel? Okay, so true Israel, those whose hearts respond in faith, will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He'll turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Verse 28, concerning the gospel, their enemies for your sake. Concerning the election, their beloved for the sake of the fathers. Verse 29, gifts of calling of God are irrevocable without repentance. That's the King James. Verse 30, as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. Okay, guys, we got saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. How many are glad that God opened up a door to the Gentiles? How many are glad to be saved by grace through faith? But don't you realize God is saying through the scriptures that if he can do that for you, he can do that for the natural Jews. Takes a big God. Just fly on a plane with him from New York to Israel. You'll see it takes a big God. But God can do anything. He raised up a nation in a day that had been gone for 2,000 years. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He'll turn ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Verse 29, we said that. Verse 31, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they may obtain mercy, for God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. How many know God's heart is that all people come to Jesus? Salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ. How many understand, Jew and Gentile alike, no matter what the background, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs milk. Everybody needs Jesus. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave. All right. Now I know, and I've taught you before, about 70 AD, Titus came and decimated Israel. Jerusalem was destroyed. People throughout the judgments of God were carried away into captivity. God fulfilled his word. But does that mean God will not fulfill the rest of the story? Because we don't see how it can happen doesn't mean it won't happen. Do not limit God by unbelief. Those who believe, God destroyed it. How could it be destroyed? If it's raised up again in a day. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Listen to the scripture. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Powerful. Powerful. Is it Bible? Oh, but wait a minute. These are the Christ killers. Jesus was crucified. He was. But he was crucified by the Romans. The Jews couldn't crucify him. They would have had to stone him to death. He was crucified by the Romans. That was their capital punishment. Did the Jews want him? Some of the Jews did. Listen, recall your Bible. The plot against Jesus was hatched and carried out by Roman-controlled Caiaphas and conspirators. The soldiers were afraid to take Jesus because, remember, over and over again it says, they feared the people. There would be an uproar of the people. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. What was about? Caiaphas was a Roman puppet. Remember? You're all quiet. But they were overrun by Roman rule. And they stirred the people up against Jesus. There were a lot of people, Jews, who thought Jesus was going to be their king. Remember? At communion, there were four cups. Jesus didn't drink the fourth cup, the Messiah cup, because their definition of the Messiah was a reigning king, and he'd come as the Lamb of God to be slain. Listen, church, the Christ killers, the crusaders. How many of you know the crusades were some of the most despicable points of history on the planet? Do you know that the soldiers did their killing and slaughter of Jews over and over again by edict of papacy promises, by indulgences that were sold, that they would be forgiven of all their sins and their debts would be forgiven. Do you think that would put some passion in crusaders? Yes, it did. Some of the early church fathers were some of the most anti-Semitic people ever. Do you realize that in Easter time, sometimes in your church history, you'll see Christians having pulled a Jew off of the street and into the congregation to be beaten and killed in front of the congregation, thinking they were doing right? What does your Bible tell you? There shall be things done that people that are wrong, and people will say they're right. The Spanish Inquisition. The Jews had to either convert or get out. How many understand we love Martin Luther? Anybody in this room love Martin Luther? Justification by faith. Justification by faith. How many realize that at the end of his life, Martin Luther wrote one of the worst tirades, anti-Semitic, that's ever been published? 2 days later, he was dead. 2 days later, Hitler considered himself a Catholic who carried out some of the writings of the early church fathers to justify his Holocaust. Russian persecution went on and on. But how many in this room remember that Jesus was a Jew? I'm sorry, I said Jesus was a Hebrew, a Jew, okay? Joseph, Mary, some of the people we really love in the Bible. How many know the apostles were Jews? Okay? Jesus was a Jew. No wonder Jewish people have some trouble with some Christians. Amen?
Amen?
Let's talk about American history. I'm really getting ready to wrap it up. Let me give you a couple of stories. Some of the Jewish people throughout history were involved in some of the most fantastic things. Columbus was greatly helped on his expedition to find the New World with a man named Levi ben Gershon, a Jew who invented the sea quadrant. It was used for navigation. Jewish cartographers drew most of the sea charts of the age. 200 years before Columbus, Moses de Leon, that sounds interesting, Moses de Leon, brother of Ponce. Anyway, Moses de Leon, a Jew, stated that the earth revolves like a ball. Okay, how many remember the Revolutionary War history? Okay, anybody remember we had a Revolutionary War in this country? Okay. Yeah, oh, okay. It got some Kodak snapshots of it, but, you know. George Washington and the Continental Congress, or the Army, rather, were literally freezing and starving in the snows of Valley Forge. Without food, arms, ammunition, it seemed like the infant nation was going to die. There was a Jewish man, Chaim Salomon, a Jewish banker from Philadelphia, who arranged for the Jews of the 13 colonies to respond with financial aid that literally turned the tide of the war and enabled Washington to defeat the British. Salomon believed that until Jerusalem would once again welcome them as a homeland, there was a place in America for the Jews. Is there a place in America for the Jews? Is there a place in America for all people? Should they want to take on some of the American stuff? Sure. Okay, that's a different story. David Allen Lewis wrote, "It can be documented that Salomon gave his personal fortune. In addition, raised huge sums of money through business transactions. He could have left himself rich and left his family rich. He died sick and penniless at the age of 45. He gave everything he had, and now his body lies in a lonely, unmarked, forgotten grave in Philadelphia." Reports range that he gave between $600,000 and $800,000. Now, if you extrapolate that to today's funds, if somebody gave you a loan for $700,000 at that time at 7% interest, compounded it quarterly, that would work out to well over $2.5 trillion if that was a loan that we should pay back him and his people. Take out your dollar bill. Anybody got a dollar bill with you? Okay, grab a dollar bill. Go ahead. Grab a purse. Grab a purse. If you want to grab your 50s, put them in the offering plate. You're welcome to do that. That's right. No, I'm kidding. Grab your dollar bill. History will show you that George Washington, in gratitude to this man who gave so much to help us have victory over the British, instructed the engravers of the $1 bill to engrave a tribute to the Jewish people over the head of the bald eagle. Now, above the eagle on the back right-hand side, you see the Star of David, surrounded by the brilliant light of the Shekinah glory that dwelt among the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. You see it? That was at Washington's instruction, that the Jews be acknowledged for all that they had done to help us have a country in victory in the Revolutionary War. Turn it upside down and place your thumb over the eagle's head. The shield becomes the menorah, or the seven golden candlesticks of Israel. Including the Levites, there were 13 tribes. 13 is the age a boy or a girl reached manhood. On $1 bill, there are 13 leaves in the olive branch on the right talon of the eagle, 13 arrows in the left talon, 13 stripes on the shield, and of course, 13 stars in the cloud representing the 13 colonies. I think that's pretty fantastic. What are we to do? And let's conclude. I'm going to share another scripture with you. Will you go to Psalm 122, verse 6? The apple of God's eye. Psalm 122, verse 6. What are we to do? I actually have two more scriptures for you, and this is one of the most important ones. Psalm 122, verse 6. And I'd like you to read it out loud with me. Y'all there? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. In Genesis 12, verse 3, you don't have to go there if you don't want, but I want you to listen to a clear promise of Scripture. Genesis 12, verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. My prayer is that right now today, as we literally watch history unfold, that we will not be quick to join in and condemn, but that we will be quick to pray and to support. Folks, we are in a country that is built on Judeo-Christian heritage, and we have much to be grateful for. And I believe that includes spiritual Israel as well as natural Israel, to be the apple of God's eye. Let's stand.
I was going to deliver this earlier as a prophecy, but I was afraid it would sound negative or condemning. And so I held it. And I, of course, had no idea what direction you were going in the message this morning. But essentially, is anything happening that I have not promised? But this too shall pass. Will you pass? The key to passing through the fire, in relation to the other prophecy, the key to the passing through the fire, as the three children of Israel did, is to trust in, cling to, and rely on.
Amen.
Trust in means trusting in Jesus and God through Jesus Christ. Not in armaments, not in nations, not in United Nations, not in any other kind of situation,
yeah.
But trusting in God.
Amen.
Clinging to, holding fast, grabbing with all your might and relying on. Let's trust and cling to and rely on, of course, is a phrase from the Amplified that you hear or read over and over and over and over and over.
Parenthetical next to the word faith.
Yeah. But believe or faith, trusting and cling to and rely on. And so the key to our passing through the fire with him is to trust and cling to and rely on.
Amen. Amen. Keep G, please. How many want to be who God wants you to be? We want the body of Christ to be everything it's called to be, spiritual Israel. But we're going to pray this morning for the peace of Jerusalem as well. Would you take each other's hands, please? Father, we thank you for your word. And though we don't see how the miracles can come to pass for us sometimes, we see how you created a nation in a day. Lord Jesus, together this morning, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And though the world may be quick to condemn, Lord Jesus, we stand with these people who have given us so much. Now, many of them are against you. Lord, we pray that you will break the barriers and the stubbornness of heart and bring great revival in Israel. great revival, so they'll see indeed Jesus is their Messiah, the only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we pray that reality will come to the world as there is honest acknowledgement that they are being lobbed at with missiles. Their children, their wives are being killed. And we pray that you will protect them. Bring them to yourself. And Father, as a nation here in America, we pray, bring this nation to yourself. We love you, Lord Jesus. This morning, as we've taken a journey through your scriptures, Lord, most of all, we're thankful to be children of Israel by faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Just tell them you love him, saints. Just tell them, Jesus, I love you. I love you and worship you. Magnify your precious, precious name. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let's sing it right from the beginning, shall we? I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Father, we thank you for the word that came forth prophetically. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the trial, the tests, and you're proving us as gold. We thank you, Lord, that we get to pass the test by trusting and clinging to and relying on you. Oh, Jesus, though these be insecure days, we don't have to be insecure with you. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're here this morning, the Lord has spoken to your heart. You want to take time to talk to him and need some prayer, come on up front. We'll be happy to pray with you, let you just pray here for a while. If you need healing in your body, come on up. We'll be honored to pray with you and believe God to minister to you. Thanks for taking time to come.